Hello to all my listeners. This is Mommy Also Cute, and I'm here with my adorable sissy baby girl, Melanie. How you doing?
Good.
You doing good? Uh-huh. Tomorrow is Melanie's birthday party, so she's kind of excited about that. So she's a little distracted, but I'm thankful that she is here to do this podcast with me. This will be my third one, and we're going to discuss growing up AB. Basically, we're going to be talking about when we first met someone, the feelings that we had when we met them. We're going to talk about boundaries and just how we can evolve over time in this lifestyle. I'm also going over the portion of the reality of being in this lifestyle and also the fantasy that can come along with it. So, Melanie, when you first started out in this lifestyle, do you remember the first person that you met?
It was you.
That's so funny. And how long ago was that?
10 years?
10 years?
No longer.
Don't say that.
12 years.
You're right. It was like 12 years ago. So now I feel super old. So thank you for, you know, mentioning that. So it's so weird because, like, I'm the first person that you met and we're going to discuss this. So here we go. So when you first met me, like, what kind of expectations did you have?
None, because I didn't know what I was doing. I went in completely blind because there wasn't as much information out there now as there was back then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can totally agree to that things have evolved since we first started out like 10, 12 years ago. There wasn't pretty much out there, but we were able to still kind of maneuver our way through the scene and were able to find someone. So how were you feeling when you first met someone in this lifestyle?
Nervous and excited.
Excited?
And nervous.
Why?
Because it was, you know, it was the first time you met someone who was kind of like-minded like you, so it helped a little bit get rid of that isolation feeling.
I remember my first meeting. I was a freshman in college, and I was on a Yahoo chat, and I met up with someone who was a DL, and I didn't know much about this lifestyle except for that I liked wearing diapers. So when I met my first person, we met at a restaurant. It was totally safe. I met him after work, and we kind of discussed things, and he kind of, like, talked to me about the lifestyle in general. He talked to me about diapers and about different roles. And even though I was still new to what these roles were, I was definitely in the mode of wanting to learn all that I could learn about it. I think through him, I learned, like, what a mommy was. I learned what a DL was. I learned some things about, like, BDSM. Very, very generic things that kind of, like, spiked my interest, where I was like, huh, this seems like pretty cool. And needless to say, like, me and him dated throughout my college years, and we both evolved into different people within the lifestyle. I still talk to him every once in a while, and he's still into diapers, and he's still into being a daddy and developed a role as being a caregiver. So that's something that was pretty cool for me, that I was able to meet with someone who kind of had more experience and was able to kind of show me around the ropes of this community, as for me, as it was just starting to evolve. And when you met me, and at that time, I believe that I was kind of into the mommy role. Is that what you were looking for? Were you looking for a mommy? And did you know pretty early that, you know, you were an AB and that's something that you wanted to try to find and to correspond with someone in that way?
Yeah. Like, to me, it always just made more sense than just dating someone who wasn't in that mindset.
I feel like you hit on something that's really important. Trying to date someone that's vanilla, it's really hard because, like, you can't get rid of that part of you being an adult baby. So I've always dated someone who was in the lifestyle. I don't think I ever dated someone who was vanilla. I've always dated or met people who were in the lifestyle, whether they be another adopt baby, whether they be a daddy or another mommy, that I've always dated or met people who were in the lifestyle. I kind of thought that if I didn't meet someone that was in the lifestyle or that was vanilla, how would I explain this to them? Because obviously this wasn't going anywhere, this lifestyle that I live and wanting to be a mommy and being into age play. So I definitely, definitely always dated someone who was in the lifestyle. So that was great for me. Over time, what have you learned about your little?
I don't know, like, because to me, my little's gender is the opposite of my adult one, so I get to experience something from a complete opposite side from a different perspective. I learned that I really like blocks and coloring.
You really like blocks and coloring? Yes. You are such a good colorer.
No.
No? You sometimes stay inside the lines when you color.
Now when I'm in real little headspace.
When you're in your headspace, yeah, your coloring gets kind of crazy. But that's okay. It's still good to me because I'm your mommy. Another thing about when entering into this lifestyle and growing up AB is that it might take a while before you can find a mommy or a daddy. Oftentimes, I will have other littles that will come to me and they'll talk to me about how hard it is to find a mommy. And I definitely can say it is really tough to find a mommy or a big. And sometimes you might have to like maneuver your way through this lifestyle before you can even find a mommy. And you might have some hit and misses. Do you have any experiences when it comes to looking for a mommy or any advice?
Don't go out into the world specifically looking for one. Every big relationship I've had has formed organically. We started out as friends. And then, you know, it started off, well, hey, you know, once you get to become more comfortable around each other, well, you know, I'll change your diaper. Just like, you know, a vanilla relationship. Like, the good ones form more organically. It's not like you're on a website looking for someone, which if you find someone that way, that's cool. But I feel like if you're part of a community, don't go to munches and parties and events. But like, oh, will you be my mommy? Because honestly, it comes off kind of creepy.
Yeah, it can come off a little creepy. And I have to say that too, is that making a connection, and sometimes it can take a while. You might think that it's going to happen overnight, and it's not. It could take years before you can even like find a mommy or find that connection. And I always say to people who tell me like, I'm having a hard time finding a mommy, do you have any advice? I always tell people to be yourself, number one. And if you have a community around yourself, go to events, go to local events, go to munches, get on FetLife and see if there are any local communities near you that are into kink or that have ABDL communities. And that will help you go very far because like Melanie said, sometimes these things happen organically. So if you continue to go to events, if you continue to kind of put yourself out there, you make connections with people and you might be able to find a mommy. Now, there may be other times where you may not find a mommy and you might be able to find what some people might consider like a sister or a little brother. And that is a good relationship as well, where you can still be able to be little and maybe you may not have a mommy, but you have like an AB sister or an AB brother and you guys can get together, watch cartoons and get in diapers and you can still indulge in that way. So always be open to the onset of other forms of relationships that you can have within the lifestyle and don't give up hope. You know, don't be like, I'm going to throw away all my diapers and all my onesies because I can't find a mommy. Because I can guarantee you that within a month or two, you're going to get diapers again, get onesies again. And purging is never something that I have known to work with people. So just keep at it and see what happens and try to get yourself out there and go to munches. I do believe that you kind of find yourself as you continue to do that.
And if you don't have a community there, start one.
Definitely start one.
Because all communities start from one person saying, hey, there's no one here, I'll start it. And our first few events out here, we had 3 to 5 people. They weren't big. If you have one person show up, it's something. Because then you keep posting about it, and then you just keep going every month, and you make a routine. And then that's part of why our community here is so great, is because, you know, over the last 7-8 years, you know, we've kept growing, we kept events going, and we started new events and new parties and new munches. So you have to be the person to take the leap to start the community if you don't have one.
Exactly. When we first started in our area, we didn't really have much going on, and I can honestly say that I went to a CapCon event, and they had a class on accepting like your little or accepting age play, and one of the persons who was the host for that event, she was talking about to connect with your community, and she started talking about having munches and growing your community and trying to reach out. And we never really had anything in our area, and so after that CapCon, I think I decided, like, hey, let's just try to see if anyone will come to a party, like, if we had one. And we posted one, and then on FetLife, and then a few people came, and then we were consistent for a while, and before we know it, we had more people coming. And now we have parties almost every week, not myself hosting, but we have other people within our community that have been like, hey, I'm going to do a party in this area, I'm going to do a party in that area. And so from just that one idea of having one party and trying to connect to others, we were able to form like a really good connection within our community, where I think that we're hosting parties at least two times out of the month. And we've had parties that have been as big as 35 people coming to a party to as little as 15. But that is still something that is great, to have that close-knit community where you can still be yourself. And that's why I say sometimes you don't have to always go looking for a mommy or a daddy right away. Try looking for a community, or try to find a community, because that can also help you out as well as you journey through this thing called ABDL life. So yeah, another thing that you can look into when you start to understand more about the lifestyle is you start to find out that people kind of have like poly AB families. And that's something that I have right now. I have my main adopt baby, who is my baby boy. Then I also have my secondary, who is my partner, and she is my baby girl, Melanie. And so there are also other ways where you can also connect with other mommies. I do know at certain parties, sometimes I have other little friends, I'll change their diapers or I'll play with them, and we'll still have a good time. Do you have anything to say about, you know, entering into or knowing about, you know, having like AB poly family type situations?
Not really. Like,
does it help you though? Because like we're part of one. You know, just quickly, like, does that help you with your little side to still have a mommy, even though we're like partners? I'm like, you're my secondary partner.
Yeah, like it, cause like it's still nice to have someone that I can turn to, and you know, if I need to vent or need to have a little time, I can have someone I can go to. And even outside of just like you, I like, cause we have such a nice community, I just have friends where I can say, hey, I'm having a really rough time, and then we'll meet up and we'll hang out. And it's nice to be like, oh, okay, we'll watch My Little Pony and color and hang out in diapers.
Yes. And I can say that happens a lot. So last week I had a party at my house, and it was supposed to be from 6 p.m. to like 2 o'clock in the morning. And this party did not end till 24 hours later. I was not expecting it to last that long, but people didn't go home, but it was still fun. And that's the fun part of having like a really close-knit community, that like I had a party and I think like 5 littles slept over, and then the next morning they got up and we hung out all day, watched movies, went to Olive Garden and had fun. So you can still find fun and joy within a community. It doesn't always have to be having a mommy or a daddy. You can also find friends that you can relate to as well. So I would say, like, to take time and to embrace the time that you have within the lifestyle and growing up AB and the knowledge that comes with it. You know, I also talk about that it's a huge responsibility when you come into this lifestyle, regardless of what role you play, whether you are an AB, whether you are a mommy, there is always a responsibility to that. Do you feel that even though you're a little, that you have like a responsibility to your mommies or even past mommies that you've had?
What do you like?
Like being there for them, showing up when you say you're going to show up, you know?
Yes, because their time is just as valuable as mine. Like, if someone bails out on me, I could have been doing something else, and then you, like, they could be doing something else too. Like, everyone's time is valuable. That's the one resource that you don't get back once it's spent, it's spent.
Right. And that's what I mean by when you're growing up AB, you start to realize as time goes on how much it is important to be responsible. Before me and Melanie were partners, I was looking hardcore for a sissy baby girl, and I couldn't find one. And I remember one in particular that we met on FET, and we were talking on Kick for a while. And then five times this person said that we were going to meet up, and each time that person did not show up, or at the last minute, they're like, oh, I'm sorry, I can't make it. And this happened five times, and I gave them the benefit of the doubt that they would show up. And for someone like me, like, I was truly looking for another adopt baby to enter into the lifestyle that I already had, because I really wanted a sissy baby girl. I've always loved sissy baby girls, and I really wanted one. And it's not good to feel like, okay, like, I'm taking this time to meet this person, and every time they keep blowing me off. So be responsible within your time. One of the things that one of the littles brought up to me at the party is they mentioned that they went to an event and they connected with a daddy, and the daddy had invited her over for a play date. And she said that when she came over to the play date, he was just playing on his Xbox all day and didn't baby her, didn't do anything for her, didn't even like acknowledge that she was there, but played video games all day. And I feel like that's so disrespectful. If a little, or whether it's a big, if they take time out of their day, like, hey, I took time out of my day to drive to you, to come to you, to have this day with you, we've talked about it, and then I get here and you're just playing video games all day, that to me is very disrespectful. And as a big, you have that responsibility that you have a little coming to you. And if you say that you're going to do something with them, you need to keep your word. I'm very much so about trying to keep your word as closely as possible. I do understand that sometimes in life things do happen where you have to like change some things up. For instance, me and baby girl had a whole weekend planned with each other, but my car had to get fixed in an emergency situation, so that kind of like switched up some things around. But so there are things in life that do happen that you can't control. But if you have a little coming to you, take that time out, stop playing the video game, and pay attention to that little, because it takes a lot of courage to even come to a big or to come to a daddy or a mommy, and to be able for them to do that is very brave. So take that time out to make sure that you are present with them. Have you ever had that as a little, that you felt like maybe your mommy or your big didn't respect your time? How did that make you feel?
It's aggravating. And it's honestly, at times it can just be a little hurtful, where you're like, hey, you know, I'm here, and then they're on their phone.
Right.
Or they're doing something. And I like to follow the rule when I'm, especially when I'm with friends or with littles, I try not to have my phone on me. Like, I'll have it with me, so if I get a message, I can respond to it. But when I'm with people at an event or whatever, unless we're, you know, just waiting for food or whatever, I try not to have my phone.
And I can say that baby girl is really good at that. She puts her phone away when she gets here. And even though I'm her mommy, she still gives me her full attention. Meaning, what I mean by that is that whenever I have something for her to do, or if we're going to go into a play scene, if we're going to go into doing bondage play with diapers, I have her full attention. She's not looking over at her cell phone. She's in tune to what we're doing, listening to the rules that I've been applying throughout our play session. And so that is very important. That's why I said it doesn't matter for if you're a little or a big, that take that responsibility out to be there for them and to communicate. Do you feel that, you know, now as we discussed early, 12 years into the lifestyle, do you feel now that you are a little bit more secure with who you are?
Yeah. When I first started out, because, sissy play wasn't something that kind of caught my eye, but I was like, eh, that's too far.
So too far.
A lot of my first outfits were very gender neutral.
Right.
I don't think I might have owned one pair of boy shortalls, which I wore twice, and then I sold them because I didn't like them. So, and then eventually I just went more, as time went on, I got more comfortable into my little side as it is now. And it was mostly because I had friends, not even just having a mommy who supported me. I had friends.
Yeah.
Who were like, no, you look really cute in that. And they would buy even just things like, here's some hair bows.
I find it funny that you talk about your boy clothes. Because I can't imagine Melanie in boy little clothes. She's always wearing something cute, a tutu or a dress or bows in her hair, pigtails. So yeah, right now she's sitting here in a pink onesie and her diaper, and she didn't even snap up her onesie, but that's probably my fault because I'm the mommy and I just changed her diapy, and I did an awesome job in the diapering, but I did not button up your onesie. It's still cute because I can see your diaper, so that's really cute. So one of the things that I want to discuss about growing up AB is the reality versus the fantasy. Have you experienced anything with the reality and the fantasy of when it really comes to this lifestyle?
Kinda like a fantasy, when I was super young, it's like, oh, I'll be 24/7 and I'll never use a toilet again, and I'll poop every diaper and every diaper will get changed. And now that I am 24/7, I don't mind changing poopy diapers every now and then, but even me, I'm like, oh, it's not the smell, it's just a hassle. It's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work.
To change a poopy diaper.
It really is.
Where it's like, okay, well, it's going to take 5-10 minutes, and then I'm going to have to take the garbage outside right away because I'm not going to let it sit in my house, because then my house will smell terrible. I kind of made the rule with you where, because you're like, oh, no, potty privilege is for you. I was like, well, if you make me poop in a diaper, you have to clean it.
So, yeah, so Melanie is 24/7, and we have this rule when it comes to poopy diapers that if I induce the messing, I have to change it. So for instance, if I give Melanie an enema and I diaper her, it's my responsibility to change her because I'm the one that forced the messing. But Melanie does have the choice when she is at home to not mess her diaper, because I do understand that can be something that's a lot to do, and it could be time consuming. So, but there are times when Melanie is with me where I'm like, nope, you're not gonna use the potty at all. And then that's my responsibility to change her as well. And even with baby boy, he's 24/7, and I don't change his messy diapers all the time, but there are special occasions for special diaper changes, and for special bonding reasons, I will change his messy diaper as well. I can say that there is, me being a mommy, I have witnessed some babies who have had some unrealistic ideas for me. I remember and even now, I would get some people that will say, I'll be your 24/7 baby, and I won't ever use the potty. I'll be so respectful towards you. I'll be loyal to you. I'll worship you. And then I'm like, okay, so how are you going to provide this 24/7 lifestyle? Because it is expensive. Melanie, how much is it for a good case of diapers? We're talking about good diapers that they're going to last you all day. Not all day, but you know what I mean.
I like the Tykeables, and I go through about 2 to 3 of them a day. And I like the Little Roars and the Galactics, and those are $180 a case.
Okay.
And that will only last me anywhere from 20 to 26 days.
So we're talking about that already, that we're talking about 180 diapers for,
not 100, we're talking about 80 diapers
for like $150 to $180. So that's expensive. And then if you want to get AB clothes, if you want to get like a nice romper and matching diaper cover, you're talking about like at least $50 or $60 dollars. So you're talking about a lifestyle that is very, very, very expensive. And I say to anyone, if you have that expectation of I'm gonna be 24/7 and I want a nursery, that stuff costs money and it's not cheap. So I always tell littles when they come to me and they talk to me, I'm like, there is a reality and there is a fantasy to this lifestyle. The reality is you can have a nursery, you can have diapers 24/7, you can have AB clothing, but all that is expensive. And if you want me to be your mommy and you want to enjoy all of that, you're going to have to be working to help support this lifestyle. And I believe that sometimes there's a fantasy of like, oh, it's going to happen right away and I'm going to be able to find a mommy and she's going to pay for everything. And even though I may have a really good job, like there's rent, there's the electric bill, there's food, there's a lot of other things to life that has to get done. So if there is a baby that has that 24/7 mentality or that a mommy's going to pay for everything, you might want to rethink that over and also think about how can I be an asset to her life? How can I, you know, do things for her as well? So it is really expensive. So that's something that you're going to have to look into. So there is a reality versus a fantasy.
If you want to buy diapers, buying per pack is super expensive.
Yes, it is.
The biggest trick I always tell people is find someone who's the same size as you and go in on a case together. I've gone in with 3 people on cases, or 3 or 4 people, so everyone gets 2 packs. Whereas if you buy an individual pack, that's $40.
Mm-hmm.
But if you buy a case, it goes from $40 a case or a pack to $20 a pack.
Yeah.
So you're significantly cutting down your costs. And if you live with someone who's a vanilla, if you can find friends, I've offered a lot of my friends who can't ship things to their house, ship it to my house.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You'll get it, and it'll be safe, and you're not risking outing yourself.
Yeah, that's very good. You know, and part of growing up AB when it comes to being like the reality versus the fantasy is that discussing boundaries. One of the things that you're going to learn real quickly within this lifestyle that you do have boundaries, and it is okay to have boundaries. I know for baby girl, one of her main boundaries is degrading. Like, I can talk to her and I can be like, oh, you're mommy's little girl. You're such a girl. Look at how wet your diapy is. And I can tease her about her diaper. I could tease her about like, oh, did mommy's baby girl make a stinky in her diaper? And I could tease her all day long about that. But Melanie's hardcore boundary is degrading her and putting her down in a way that isn't in a way that helps with the headspace. And that is something that I respect 100%. It's something that I would never do. What do you think about when it comes to your boundaries?
I would say like I don't have too many boundaries. Just that's my one major one. You also need to be respectful of other people's boundaries. Like, a lot of people, a house rule for at parties is no mess plate.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people don't like that smell. And there's a few people are 24/7 and they're bodily incontinent. And when they poop their diapers, they automatically they don't sit in it. They excuse themselves. They go to a bathroom and they change and they get rid of it.
Yeah.
You need to be respectful of others in your surroundings.
That's true. You know, something that boundaries to me is very important, because when I was first starting out, I remember someone did not follow a boundary with me, and they went too far doing a diaper change, and it was something that we discussed before that I said I did not want to happen, and that person did not follow through with my boundaries, and they lost my respect. And for me, ever since that boundary has been crossed, I have a hard time being a little around other people, because I am a switch. I do like to switch roles and do like a submissive role play every once in a while. But I have to say that after someone crossed my boundary, it was very hard for me to trust that person, and very hard for me to get into that subspace again, fearing that someone would not listen to my boundaries. Talking to one of my little friends said that they were in a play scene, and one of their hardcore limits is like hitting in the face. And they said that in the middle of a diaper change, for some reason, which is a very intimate thing for a baby and a big, that the big had slapped them in the face during the middle of a diaper change. And they said that they were so much in shock that they didn't know what to do. And when we talk about boundaries in a community, you have to respect those boundaries. And it is okay to have those boundaries, and it should be respected. So when you growing up, a part of knowing who you are, a part of doing this life is boundaries. And that's a very big reality in this life. Like, some people have a fantasy that I could get an adopt baby and I could do whatever I want to do with them, and they're going to comply to whatever I have to say, unless that is something that you have already said as okay thing in your relationship, then that is okay. But if it's not, and that little has boundaries, or if that big has real boundaries, like if a big says like messing is my ultimate boundary, then you need to respect that. And it's okay to respect those boundaries, because they should be, because you don't want to ever make someone be fearful of our lifestyle. We want it to be engaging, and we want it to be welcoming to people who are within our lifestyle, especially to the younger generation that's coming up within the ABDL community. We want to make sure that we're protecting them and making sure that we as bigs, or people who have been in the lifestyle for a while, that we are also putting our best example forward to these other littles and to the younger generation that's coming up. So therefore, like, if you do have boundaries, it's okay. Know your boundaries, set your limits, talk to your big about that, talk to your little about that. So that's a big reality when it comes to this lifestyle, is making sure you know who you are and knowing your boundaries and being able to express that as, no, this is a limit that I will not cross. And whoever, whether it's the big or the little, making sure that they respect it. We're going to be finishing up here. We're going to talk about our last thing is, you know, having mentors. I talked about, you know, earlier, not that long ago, about the younger generation coming up and being, you know, kind of like a role model to them. Like, not everyone has to do that, but I definitely do. I do know that I've talked to other ABs in the lifestyle, and one of the things like I hear constantly with me is that littles have said to me, I feel safe around you. Like, I can go to a party, and if I know you're going to be there, like, I feel safe that mommy also cute is there. And I think that's a huge thing for me, that I have littles that will say to me, like, if I know there's an event coming and I know you're coming to that event, like, I'm so happy that mommy also cute is here, because I know that she's safe. Do you feel like, even though you are an adopt baby, do you feel like you are a mentor, or that like you are someone that littles can come to, the younger generation?
Yeah, because I know some of the greater tricks. Like, I know which brands of onesie, like even just like simple things, I know which brands of onesies to get, which diapers are good and worth their money. I also, like last week, I taught someone a different way to fluff a diaper, because they fluffed it and they fluffed it too hard and it exploded.
Yes, my room had white diaper fluff everywhere. I heard, oops. I was like, what's going on? They're like, there's diaper fluff everywhere.
So I taught them a new way to fluff a diaper. Like, and I always tend to watch out for younger people when they're at a party, because they might not know rules of, like, engagement. Like, if someone's in a play scene, they might interfere, and we had that happen to us
two weeks ago.
Someone ruined our play scene, and it put everyone in a really bad mood.
Yeah,
because you're expecting something fun to happen, and then someone was sitting in the corner yelling because they thought it would be funny to say stop.
Yeah. That...
So we were worried that, A, we triggered them somehow.
Yeah.
And B, like, it ruined my headspace because I couldn't get into a headspace. They couldn't get into a headspace of tapping me. So it was just, it was no fun all around.
Yeah, and then when those situations happen, because they do happen, especially with people who are new to the lifestyle, educate them. Don't get angry so fast right away. You might be angry at first because, you know, that have happened to me before where I was angry in the moment. But kind of, like, take a step back, you know, reevaluate that scene and see what you can do next, or see what can happen next when you are around new people. Being that mentor, being like, hey, you know, when we do a play scene, this is what happens. Or, hey, when you're at a play scene or at an event, not everyone may be okay with touching right away. So it's okay to be that mentor and to be that voice of reason, to just be that lookout, just so that people can have a pleasant experience.
There's nothing wrong with asking. As long as it's coming from a sincere place, there's nothing wrong with asking a question with someone, to anyone, because maybe you don't know something or you want to learn something. That's the only way you get better at it.
Yes.
Is asking a simple question. Like,
exactly.
We have a few people at parties who have a lot of really fun spanking implements, and they're very curious about them. So, A, ask to touch their things, because that's one of the biggest no-nos, is touch someone else's
just to go toy. On someone's diaper bag and just start taking out stuff.
It's a big violation. And then ask them, you know, how to properly use it, if you can use it.
Yes.
Depending on the person, they might be willing to show you how to use it. Like, they'll use it on you softly, so you get the feel for it. I would also recommend, as if you're a top, to try something on yourself before you use it on somebody.
Yeah.
If you, like, there's something called an evil stick, and it's a little it's a carbon fiber stick.
It's evil.
It does not, like, it's a flicking thing, and if you don't know what you're doing, I've seen people who don't know what it is, and they've bent it back 45 degrees, and they've let it go on someone.
And it can hurt really bad and break skin.
It will break skin, and it hurts a lot. It doesn't take a lot to use it. So always use an implement on yourself or ask someone to show you how to properly use it.
I think that's true. Like, as a mentor or as a big, you know, there will be times where I'll be like to Melanie, like, and I have used this before, and it does hurt. Or Melanie, like, hey, let's try it on you. And I don't say no. I be like, this might hurt, but if I'm going to be using it on baby girl, then she might spank my thigh, and I like, that is really heavy. Like, oh, yeah, that paddle, that does sting a little bit. So I feel like if you are going to be able to dish out the pain or the punishment to your little, that you yourself as a big also can kind of like be a test example to see what it feels like. That way you know what you're going through. And I also believe that also builds up a trust as well. So it is very important to have that mentor. They can help you through scenes. They can help you to understand this lifestyle just a little bit better. And to end on my mommy thought of the day is that as we're growing up, AB, there is joy in it. And I hope that by having good representatives of the lifestyle, that with the younger generation, they can pay it forward. And as they're learning the things that we have learned, that they can also be able to be a help to someone new who comes into the lifestyle. Also, you know, it doesn't matter who you are, whether you're big or a little, you know, we should always try to respect each other's time. If a little comes over to see a big, make sure you put down your cell phone, put down your PlayStation, your Xbox, and give them that attention that they want, because they came to see you. And a lot of littles are really excited. Oh, I got a big. And they're excited to be with that big. And so if they're there for you, take some time out to just be with them and be present with them. Also, you know, go into your community, go to events, be the leader. If there isn't a community near you, try to start munches, try to see who would like to be a part of your local community, and start to grow your ABDL community around you. And when you are in situations, it's okay to have a voice. Whether you are a big, whether you are a little, it is okay to have a voice. It is okay to be able to feel safe when you are going into new situations. And I just say, just take this lifestyle as it comes and surround yourself with positive people. you know, take the time to understand what this lifestyle is all about. Don't get easily frustrated if you can't find a mommy or a big. Try to maybe find a big sister or a little sister or a big brother or a little brother. Just know that there is more than one type of way that you can enjoy this lifestyle. I like to say thank you to everyone who listened today, and I hope that everybody have a crinkle-tastic day. Thank you.